Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and your care. And we ask you, Lord, this day for your guidance, for open hearts, for open ears, to hear what it is that your word has to say to us. We pray, Lord, also for your mercy upon the sermon. May it be used for your glory, for your love. And anything not from you, may it be forgotten. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. Hear now God's word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, here's the congregation participation. There's this saying that some of you may be familiar with, and I want to see if you can complete it. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. There's more. There's more. What is that, Joanne? I don't know. Anyone online know? Anyone on Zoom know? Don't look it up. This is an old poem from the 1900s, 19th century. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, a sixpence for your shoe. Or it has been changed to a penny for your shoe. But this is a very English, England saying. So sixpence for your shoe. In fact, you can go on eBay right now and you can buy for $6 a wedding sixpence that you can place in your shoe if you so desire and you're getting married. Speaking of which, and I think I gave you the answer, this saying is said at what part of our life? Our marriage, our weddings. This is it's a very neat saying. Why Why is it that traditionally, again, it's just tradition, if you want to follow, how many of you followed this minus the sixpence? All of it? Yeah? Yeah, blue? Everyone blue? Yeah. I don't remember if we did it or not. I don't know. Why? What's that? For luck, for good marriage. But why something old? Why something new? Why something borrowed? Why something blue? Why a sixpence in your shoe? Of course, each of them have a particular reason. And I got to say that it's really neat. Because it reminds us something very important about marriage. And not just marriage, but it reminds us something very important about many aspects, if not all aspects, about life. It reminds us, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, sixpence for a shoe, that a marriage does not happen within a vacuum. It's not something random that just all of a sudden happens and then has no ramifications, has no effects on the future. Excuse me. Something old, I don't know what it is that you may pick a wedding dress from your mother or grandmother or whatever the case might be. But it reminds us that the things that have happened in the past help to lead us to the point that we're at right now. In this case, a marriage. But this also pertains very easily to this Pentecost celebration. Pentecost is a birthday. That's what we call it first. We sing happy birthday or happy birthday to the church on occasion. But it's also a marriage. It's a marriage of the Holy Spirit with God's people. It's a new life, a new celebration. And so there's something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, sixpence for your shoe is very apt for our day to day. I heard it said once in a mean, and I'm going to butcher it because I don't remember it completely, but I'll give you the gist. It's that the revelation that that everything, every interaction with every person for the past 100 years, and even more, happened exactly the way that it happened, has allowed this moment to take place exactly the way it's taking place now. That there's a possibility that if one thing would have changed back there, something would be different about this moment right here. The past has a very real connection with the present. Something old reminds us of that. And at this day of Pentecost, something old was present there, and Peter helped to bring it. Peter, standing among the leaven, raised his voice and he addressed them. And he said this in verse 16, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, something old. In the last days it will be, God declares that I will pour out my life upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will all prophesy. Will show portents in the heaven above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming to the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The neat thing about this is on the day of creation, as God created the heavens of the earth and all the people within, all the animals around, we were on God's mind. The plan was put in place for the church to exist. That Jesus was not the end of God's plan, but a way to transition into something more, of which we were a part of. At annual conference, we had a speaker speak. He is a Baptist minister who is the president of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, which is a Presbyterian seminary, and he was speaking at a United Methodist annual conference. There's all kinds of ecumenical going on there. His name is the Reverend Dr. Asa... Oh, it just left me. Asa Lee. Reverend Dr. Asa Lee. And in his word, he talked about the calling of Peter and Andrew from the book of Matthew when they were fishing. And he said, drop your nets, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. And he had 3 points. Every good minister has 3 points in a poem. I don't have those things usually, so make it be what you will. But 3 points, and one of those points, the second point, was the fact that Jesus called them. Nothing else in the world called them. It wasn't their own desires. It wasn't a commercial they saw on TV. It wasn't a natural transition from fishing fish to fishing people. It was the fact that they followed because Jesus called them. And I got to tell you, it was a word I needed to hear in that moment, because the reason that I'm serving a church is because Jesus called me. The reason that you are here worshiping God today is because Jesus called you. No other reason than that, than Christ spoke to your heart and you answered that call. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidental. It's not luck. We're gathered here together because Jesus called each and every one of us to be here. Something old is that Jesus had us in his plans. We are here because of that. Now, it's something new. The church itself. The fact that God is starting something incredible. That goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, when the people were gathered together to build a tower all the way up to God, and God confused them by changing their language and spreading them apart to the farthest reaches of the world until the world was ready to hear the truth of Christ. And so then we are ready. The church was started in order to be something new, in order to show that the love of God is not just given to us for our sake, but for the sake of all who are in this world. He had them speak different languages, which to me is a great joy, but also a great source of anxiety, because the language that was given to that person was given to that person so that person can go to that country. Maybe they didn't like the country that, you know, I never thought of visiting Greek. I never wanted to visit Greek, but all of a sudden I can speak Greek. So maybe I should go to Greek. God equipped them so that they can go wherever God called them to. Something new was the church and the tools in order to love. Something is next. Borrowed. Something borrowed. The power of God. The Holy Spirit. The great thing about Pentecost is that God called them to do something new, but gave them the tools to do it. They didn't have what they needed prior to Pentecost. Jesus just told them to wait, and so they were faithful for 50 days, praying in the temple, meeting together, praying to God for the next steps, and for 50 days, a month and a little less than another month, they waited and waited and waited until Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit in order to have the tools to go forth and share the gospel of Christ to those who are around them. The thing that I liked is when the Jews in the area heard the great noise, they came running around and find out what was happening, and they found this. In verse 11, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. They just found out that they can speak different languages, and the people hear them already talking about God. They're not going over their grocery list for the day. They're not going over an instruction booklet for the TV. They're not just talking randomly about their family. They're already putting this borrowed power to use to share God's love, to share God's will with those who are around them. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Why blue? That's what someone else said. It rhymes. That's all. Blue is a special color. They all have their own meanings. Blue is the color, has been traditionally, the color of love and purity. And in a wedding, love and purity is what you want to be at the forefront of the foundation of which that marriage is being built upon. At the beginning of the church, love and purity is seen very clearly by the fact that not only does God love the people who have been praying to Him for the past 50 days, but also love the people who are within the city and beyond, who've never heard of God in this way, so much so that He paved a way for them to know His Son. And that this love is not a love that is out to get something, but is a love that is pure. The church, in its love and its purity, can be seen that the church is not created just for itself, just for its own members, but the church is created for its non-members also. It's created in order to go out and share the love of the one who loves the world. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, a sixpence for your shoe. Why a sixpence for your shoe? Because they want the bride to constantly be uncomfortable. No, that's not it. Never what? You'll never be broke if you have a sixpence in your shoe. Closer. Someone said for luck, all these again have different reasons outside of luck. So that you will have prosperity. That you will be prosperous. I've been to a lot of weddings in my near 20 years of ministry, and I can only remember a very few grooms and groomsmen, best man and bridesmaid speeches. One sticks to my mind more than all the others, and the others I remember because of their inappropriateness. But this one I remember because it was good. And what this one was she got up, the maid of honor got up, and she held her champagne up, and she had a toast. And her toast was, "May this be the worst day of the rest of your life." I liked it. Marriage is only supposed to be a beginning. We see brides and grooms spend an outrageous amount of money for something that will only last just a few hours. When those who have been married understand that it's the marriage itself that is of greatest importance. I'm not saying the wedding's unimportant. It is. It's the beginning. But every day after, may it be better than the first. And that's what she was saying. The church in Pentecost was created for prosperity. It was created to grow, to thrive, to reach out to those who are around them, to share the love, not just to hoard it for themselves, but to share it with those whom they encounter. No matter who they are, no matter where they're from, but to show the love of Christ always, that another might share that love and experience that love in different ways. On this wonderful day of Pentecost, we have with us, in this very presence, something old. The Scriptures telling us that God had us on His mind always. Something new. Each person sitting here this day. The Holy Spirit, something borrowed within our lives. The power of God to go out and do what God calls us to do, whatever that might be. Because all of us are called. Something blue. The love and purity of Christ's love to share with those who are around us. And we have a sixpence in our shoe. Well, not literally. But we are built for prosperity. To grow in Christ's love. To share that love with anyone who's around us. That they too may grow in Christ's love. This is the joy we're celebrating today. This is the responsibility given to us for tomorrow. I thank God that we have one another for that support that we need. Share with you this final prayer. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit, transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.